Let's read together Acts chapter 3. In this chapter, we have the healing of a lame man through the ministry of Peter and John, and then we have Peter's second sermon. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 16. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murder to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. In Acts chapter 2, we saw the birth of the church at Pentecost. Already the church was beginning to grow. 3,000 souls were saved and added to the church on the day of Pentecost alone. So the early church was growing by leaps and bounds. And notice from verse 46 of chapter 2 that while they met together as house churches, they continued to go to the temple. Their primary purpose for going to the temple was not to sacrifice, but to share the gospel with their fellow Jews. Remember, Jesus used to teach in the courts of the temple. There would always be an audience in the temple courts. The temple complex consisted of the temple itself and a series of outer and inner courts. The most outer court was known as the court of the Gentiles. Jews and Gentile proselytes would gather here for conversation and teaching. The court of the Gentiles was surrounded by colonnaded porches or porticos. And the one on the east side of the court of the Gentiles was called the Portico of Solomon and is mentioned in verse 11 of chapter 3. As you moved from the outer court of the Gentiles toward the temple itself, you passed through the court of women and then through the court of Israel and finally through the court of the priests, where only the priests could go, and then into the temple itself. The gate between the outer court of the Gentiles and the court of women was called the Beautiful Gate. This is where the miracle of the healing of the lame man took place, as we see in verse 2. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, a period of miracles for Israel was included in the early days of Christianity. A period of miracles for Israel was included in the early days of Christianity. The healing of this lame man was quite a miracle, wasn't it? This was no healing of a sprained ankle or some kind of leg-lengthening illusion. No, this man was lame from birth. We learn from Acts chapter 4, verse 22, that he was more than 40 years old. He had never walked. You know, isn't it great to see a baby learn to walk? This man had never learned to walk. But when he was healed, he not only walked, he leaped. It was immediate, no learning process. Think of it. I mean, how long did it take you to learn to walk and jump and leap? This was immediate. So this was quite a miracle. Something the man could not buy, even if all the world's silver and gold had been given to him. But he received legs instead of arms. What a miracle. Notice again that the miracle took place in the temple area. Why? It was specifically a witness to Israel that Jesus, the one they had rejected, was indeed the Messiah. Look again at what Peter says in verses 14 through 16. So this miracle then was a testimony to Israel and confirmed the word of the apostles that Jesus indeed was Israel's Messiah. And look over at Acts chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. This is in the temple area. Also, the multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy or indignation. So we see that the miracles in the first days of the church were primarily for the Jewish people. Now, when we get to the ministry of the Apostle Paul later in the book of Acts, we will see that the ministry of miracles was extended also to the Gentiles to confirm the word of the Apostle Paul in his missionary travels. But at first, the miracles were focused within the Jewish community in and around Jerusalem to prove that Jesus was for sure Israel's Messiah. A period of miracles for Israel was included in the early days of Christianity. Doctrine point number two. An extension of grace for Israel was included in the early days of Christianity. An extension of grace for Israel was included in the early days of Christianity. Verses 17 through 26. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Notice that there is a gracious change in the tone of Peter's sermon at verse 17. Up to this point, Peter's sermon has been scathing in reference to the Jews. They had delivered up God's servant Jesus to be crucified, verse 13. They had disowned him in the presence of Pilate, who wanted to release him, verse 13. They had favored the release of Barabbas, a murderer, rather than Jesus, who was innocent, verse 14. And they had taken the life of the Prince of Life, verse 15. But God raised Jesus from the dead, and he was now glorified as proof that the Jews were dead wrong and guilty and worthy of judgment. But now comes a gracious turn in Peter's sermon in verse 17. The essence of the rest of Peter's sermon is as follows. God was willing to forgive Israel's blind sin of ignorance concerning Jesus. There is good news in the days ahead. Moses and the rest of the prophets from Samuel on down all spoke of a time in the future when the Messiah would be received by Israel. And then a time of restoration and refreshing would come about. And it was to the Jewish people that these covenant promises were made. Verse 25. And it will not be without the ultimate restoration and blessing of Israel. Jesus had been raised from the dead first of all for the Jews. Verse 26. So Peter, you see, was looking beyond the present time of the church here. The time of refreshing and restitution is the kingdom age, when Christ will return and set up his glorious earthly kingdom. At that time, Israel will be restored, and they will receive the Messiah the nation once rejected. So when will this time be? Peter tells his Jewish audience in verse 19 that if Israel would even then repent, God would send Christ back right then, and the times of refreshing would come. So we see here then that an extension of grace was offered to Israel. You know, we also see this extension of grace for Israel in the parable of the fig tree in Luke chapter 13. I'm reading Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. Jesus also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking for fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. In this parable, the fig tree represents Israel. The 3 years are the 3 years of public ministry of our Lord. But there was no spiritual fruit in the nation, and therefore the fig tree was to be cut down and removed. But an extension of grace was given to the fig tree. In the same way, an extension of grace was given to Israel. But unfortunately, the nation did not repent and was finally cut down in 70 AD when the Romans destroyed the temple and scattered the Jewish people. And so the time of refreshing and restoration that Peter speaks of here is still future and awaits the time of Israel's national repentance. That time will come in association with our Lord's return to this earth. But an extension of grace for Israel was included in the early days of Christianity. Practical application. Let's do what we can and let God do the rest. Let's do what we can and let God do the rest. Go back to the miracle of the healing of the lame man and notice the sequence of steps. Peter says to the lame man in verse 6, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And then Peter helps the man as he responds in faith, and then his feet and ankles are strengthened to stand and walk and leap. Now, do you see the application here? Peter and the man both have faith that God will heal, but they also do what they can in faith. Peter helps the man as he tries to get up, and then God does the rest. Do you see the application? Maybe you're praying about a need right now, a new ministry, a different job, a problem. Do you have faith? Don't sit back and do nothing. Let's do what we can and let God do the rest.